welcome to season 4 of the Hennessy Box Podcast. Here are your hosts.
Hi, I'm Brad Churchwell.
And I'm Farhan Ghalani.
And I'm Jimmy Deep. We are the broker owners of RE/MAX iRealty Innovations. I had to pick up the phone and call one of our lawyers, but I felt like it's so... It was
like, almost embarrassing to ask, wasn't it?
Right,
we had to qualify with like, this is going to sound crazy.
Yeah.
Like, but
it was so, it was such a, you know, it's 100% wrong when you feel like it was just an embarrassing question to ask, but yeah. I had to ask it anyway. Hey everybody, welcome to episode 5 of the Hennessy Box Podcast, season 4.
Yes.
And we don't have a guest in here today, but I think it'll be a very interesting topic.
Yeah. Crazy, actually, a crazy topic.
Yeah. We're going to talk a little bit about written counters and how they're done. But let's start with the situation that spawned all of this.
Okay.
Brad, you want to give it a go?
Yeah. Well, without naming names, you know, and I guess what sort of prompted us to make a podcast episode about this particular incident was... it was just very, I guess, eye-opening and a little bit concerning that usually you know that at the end of the day, usually brokers, when things can get resolved at the broker level, it's because there's a kind of a consensus or on the same page about the understanding of the rules or say contract law, or just the general process, best practice, let's say. And we've just found ourselves in a situation lately where that hasn't been the case. And
on a number of occasions, yeah, on different issues.
Yeah. So that's just a little bit unsettling, and hope that it's just kind of a
one-off.
Yeah. Or a
Mercury, bad streak. Maybe Mercury is in retrograde.
Yeah, something.
People always like talking about that.
Yeah,
I don't know. Something. It was weird. It was like a string of
what? Yeah. What? So anyway, this incident happened a couple of weeks ago, and I got a call from one of our agents on the weekend, and pretty routine call. They were telling me about a multiple offer scenario, which is almost how most of these calls start, when agents call and are kind of looking for some guidance or want an opinion on something or clarification. It, because of the market and the nature of the market, it almost inevitably is, well, I was in a multiple offer situation. That's sort of the start of it. You know, you get these calls too.
Yeah.
But anyway, I got this call that one of our agents on the listing side had a multiple offer scenario. And they went through, presented the offer to their sellers. Their sellers decided on the best offer, and they got that offer signed, called the other agents involved to let them know, to thank them for the offer, as you do, and let them know that they, you know, went in another direction. One of the agents said, oh, okay, we'd like to write a backup offer. Perfect.
Okay, right.
Which is great. Mm-hmm. If you can get a accepted offer and then get a backup offer, that's great.
Yeah.
So far, so good. That backup offer came in later that night, and you have to address it being a backup offer. And in this case, the agent had wrote a term addressing it. It was pretty convoluted and probably could have been a little tighter, but essentially it was addressing a term, which I think if you're on the buy, and I'm not saying that's wrong, and that's something we talked about. It's not wrong to do it as a term, but as a seller, you probably want a little more control of the scenario, and you might prefer it as a seller condition.
Right. As a seller, I would want it as a condition.
Yeah, sure.
You know?
Yeah.
As a buyer, I'm going to fight for the term.
As a buyer, yeah, absolutely. You want it as a term because, you know, the seller can, you then, if you're a buyer and you have to agree to it as a seller condition, then I would say, well, okay, as a compromise, I want to add a term that makes, you know, that applies pressure to the seller having to follow through on that, removing that condition upon the collapse of the first offer.
Right. So the term is basically it's an automatic scenario. So like if the first offer falls apart, it's the second one automatically takes effect is what the term says.
Sure.
But if it's a condition, then the seller has to waive that seller's condition,
that's
right?
And if the condition date expires and it's not waived, then that backup offer is dead.
Right.
So beneficial for the seller to have it as a seller condition. Mm-hmm. So anyway, they got this offer and talked it over with the seller. The seller agreed and said, I'd like this as a condition. So everything else looked good.
Right.
So except for they were running out of time on the acceptance of the offer. That was the other issue. Mm-hmm. So they instructed our agent to make the change, striking the term from the additional terms and adding a seller condition. So she did that, sent it to her clients. They initialed those changes, crossing out that term, initialed the adding of the condition to mm-hmm. the offer that was given to them, mm-hmm. Initialed the change of the acceptance, to pushing it out
right.
to allow for the buyers to review and accept right. in a time frame.
Right. So like from 5 o'clock to 9 o'clock sure. to give them more time or whatever.
To give them more time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our agent then sent it back to the other side mm-hmm. and that agent called our agent and said, hey, yeah, I got your email, looked at the offer. My buyers, don't accept those changes that were made. But since you signed it, it's now a firm or a legally binding contract.
Right.
With the original, the way they originally sent it.
Right. And okay, wait. This is so wild that I want to repeat this.
Yes.
The sellers took the offer that was submitted to them. They made changes that they wanted to see on the offer, moving the term into the condition, extending the offer. They initialed it all. The seller initialed it all and signed the seller's acceptance on the last page and sent it back to them.
Yeah.
Initials from the buyers are still missing.
That's correct.
Right.
It's effectively a written counter.
Yes.
So this agent argued and said no, because that's exactly what our agent said. Is right. like, well, no, what we made the changes and initialed and signed it and sent it back to you guys for your acceptance.
Right.
Essentially a written counter. Hmm. And he said, well, I've actually already spoken to my broker about this and that broker agrees. I'm not even going to say he or she. That broker agrees. I'll try not to.
Yeah.
That broker agrees that I'm correct, that this is a legally binding contract.
Right.
And
we talked about this. Like we got on the phone. We're like, wait, what? What are you talking about? And we thought that maybe it was explained. Maybe then the communication was explained incorrectly.
That's what I said. That's what I said. Because I said, well, okay, wait a minute. The broker can't agree. Who's the broker? They yeah. told me. Well, okay. Well,
there's no way.
I know that broker is very experienced. There's yeah. no way that. And I said that. Don't worry about it. I'll call the broker. Don't worry about it. There's no way that
there's a misunderstanding here.
Yeah. There's no way this could have been explained correctly to the broker for them to
right.
say, yeah, you're right.
Right.
Because they're 100% wrong.
Right.
So anyway, it really wasn't that big of a concern. Because it was a backup offer and the first offer
right.
looked very solid in terms of removing the conditions. Mm-hmm. So I said, but, you know, let's deal with this. So anyway, fast forward to the next day and I'm talking to the broker. This was like over the weekend, so whatever, on Monday or whatever, when I talked to the broker. And I said, hey, how you doing? Just wanted to clarify just an agent issue. I don't think it's a big deal, but.
Oh, right. No, you had another problem.
Oh, yeah,
You had another issue with another agent in that same brokerage that you were talking about.
Yes. And I said, it's funny that this came up because I actually have to talk to you about this other
right,
thing.
Right, right.
And I said, I'll just run you through the scenario. It's about a backup offer. And this broker was like, stop me. And was like, oh, yeah. I am aware of that. And I go, oh, okay, well, let me just tell what I know of it, because what I said to my agent was, there's no way that you would agree to this if it was explained correctly to you.
Right.
And this broker was like, oh, I think it was explained correctly. And I went through the scenario, and the sparkler was like, yeah, no, he's right. It is a
binding
agreement. And I'm like, impossible. No, it's not. Yeah. And I was a little bit shocked. And,
yeah.
And you were sitting in the office and you were a little bit shocked. And
I was like, not even a little bit shocked. Yeah, I was like
blown away.
What? Blown away. Mind yeah. blown. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. And I said, well, no, it's effectively a written counter. And the broker was like, no, actually it's not. And best practice has always been that you, they said, once I talked to a lawyer about this and I'm right, the brokers are getting this wrong all the time now, but I'm right. A couple of years ago when they removed there used to be a little initials at the bottom of the contract for final acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
And they took that out. I can't remember when, but a few years ago when they revised the contract, one of the times they revised the contract.
Mm-hmm.
And so this broker claims that a lawyer said that now that that's been removed, final acceptance is by the seller signing off on it. Regardless, I was going to say irregardless, but it's not a word.
Right.
Regardless of missing initials or whatever, that's final signing. That's what determines
right.
the legality of the contract.
Right.
I said, well, no, it was a written counter. And then that's when the broker said, best practice has always been to present an offer in writing, negotiate verbally, figure out the changes, and then make those changes. And then the seller signs it last. And I said, well, no, that's not,
best practice.
That may be common practice,
yeah.
But best practice always has and always will be. All offers and counteroffers should be in writing.
Correct. Yes.
That gets hammered into you during the course and throughout.
Yeah.
We kind of had a little bit of a disagreement there. And I said, so you're telling me then that a seller can't say to, because they said, well, you can't do it the other way around. And plus the offer expired. And I said, well, it's still an offer. You can extend an offer acceptance period. And I said, and furthermore, you're saying that a seller can't instruct me as a listing agent when they think somebody's interested in a property. Say somebody came and they wrote an offer and it didn't come together. And 2 weeks later, that seller can't instruct you to initiate and write an offer that the seller signs and sends to them to accept or counter,
mm-hmm.
and they would accept it by signing. But if they changed something and initialed it, then would have to initial it, you know. Right. And I that broker did kind of pause for a minute when I put that scenario out there, like, oh, well, wait a second.
Should have paused at the very beginning, because none of this makes sense.
It doesn't. It really doesn't. And I guess the most troubling part was that this broker is very experienced.
Yeah.
And that was...
You know, there's, I don't know how we can slice and dice this any other way, but like, you know, let's go back to the old contract, right? There was the final signing section on there. They got rid of it. I think it should still be there, but I understand why it got removed, because it's not necessary to contract law, right?
Like it's redundant in terms of legality or contract law.
So, I mean, just taking that basis, both people signed it. And the counter, the offer would be accepted only if everybody has agreed to the terms
mm-hmm.
of the contract. So, you know, basic contract law, there's four key elements, and we've gone through this probably like day one of contract law in real estate school. And that is, there has to be an offer. Yeah. There has to be an acceptance.
Yeah.
Right?
Consideration.
There has to be consideration. And there has to be... it says certainty of terms or an agreement a wish to have an agreement in place, like an intention for an agreement, right? So if you're not agreeing to the terms of the buyer or the seller by initialing those changes, you can't force somebody else to accept what the original terms
were. You can't put a gun to somebody's head and have all the other things, all the other three things that you have in place. If the fourth one is a gun to your head, then it's legally not binding.
It's like, you know, me saying, hey, Brad, you know, I'll buy that cup for you, from you for, you know, $10, right? And then
$50 done.
Yeah, and then you go back $50. You change it to $50. You sign it, and then you give it back to me and be like, it's done. No, it's signed off. You know, like, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
So I don't know how we can slice and dice that any further other than the fact that...
Yeah.
I think it got a little bit confusing when they got rid of the final signing section.
Sure.
So, I mean, I really think like best practice now for a lot of agents would be just to rewrite the entirety of that offer. Best practice as in common practice / best practice. If you're going to negotiate verbally, just rewrite the whole offer. Right? Sure. I would say, and it's so easy to get things signed now.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to send it for initials anyway, like let's say you got to change the price.
Yeah. And circumstances permitting, have the buyer's agent rewrite it.
Yeah. They can rewrite it. Anybody can sign off last.
Sure.
You're right. Yeah. But nice, clean contract. So, you know, it's a good thing we are seeing more and more cleaner contracts come through. But certainly there are times when initials are happening, right? Because if you're going to send it for one initial, it doesn't take much more time to just make it clean and sign the whole thing all over again.
Fast.
So, but certainly a counter offer is so I'll tell you this, after this situation, I remember this broker saying, I've spoken to my legal counsel and this is what they told me.
Mm.
And I said, and we were thinking to ourselves,
get a new legal counsel.
Number one, I don't know which lawyer you're using. Yeah, you should be somebody else.
Let us know, because we got a running list.
Right. We got a running list of like who not to use. If you guys want to know, just give me a call. Give me or Brad a call, because there's some wild lawyers out there. And so I had to pick up the phone and call one of our lawyers. But I felt like it's so... It was
like, almost embarrassing to ask, wasn't it?
Right.
We had to qualify with like, this is going to sound crazy.
Yeah.
Like, but
it was such a, you know, it's 100% wrong when you feel like it was just an embarrassing question to ask, but I had to ask it anyway.
And was so wrong, you almost felt like we were missing something.
Right.
Like,
right. Just to be sure. Yeah. I was just like, hey, listen, this is a really weird question, but let me run this scenario by you. And I need to know, because it was so crazy that somebody else said another lawyer said and whatever. And then he had to ask me twice.
Yeah.
He's like, wait, what?
Okay. So this, and like, you mean this? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, let me repeat this. I was like, yes, that's exactly the situation. He's like, well,
I think the first thing he said was, well, that's a written counter.
Yeah.
He goes, exactly. That's like the first 10 minutes of
law school. And then I was like, okay, cool. And then he went on to explain, you know, went on to like talk more about it and whatever. But, you know, it's just one of those questions that's like, whatever. But this one's going to be a short podcast, which is going to be nice. But I wanted to touch base on one other thing that you talked about.
Sure.
In this situation, one of the things that were changed was the expiry date of that contract. And you had a conversation with this broker about this expiry date. And this broker, I was just about to say he or she, but this broker said,
it's hard.
said, no, you can't do that. It already expired.
It's already dead.
It's already dead.
Yeah.
And there's a very, it's a common misconception out there.
Yeah.
That if it expires, you can't revive a dead offer. And that's certainly true for conditions.
Yeah, for an accepted offer.
Yeah. Yes. But the open until time on section 17, you can extend that as many times as you want, because it's a part of that counter, right?
That's right.
It's like, hey, Brad, here's my counter. You got until 10 p.m. The other guys can come back and say, hey, Jimmy. You can be like, hey, Jimmy, no, I don't accept this. I've made the changes. Now it's open until 12 a.m.
It's essentially a new offer.
It is.
Every time you counter, it's a new offer.
Right.
Just like if somebody counters and say a buyer presents an offer and you turn around and you counter it.
Right.
And then they're like, nah, we're good.
Right.
Like, no.
Then it's dead.
It's dead. You can't be like, okay, well I'll sign that off that
dead.
You sent me.
It's dead when it expires.
Yeah.
It's dead when it expires. They can sign it anytime before that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why you got to withdraw it also. But exactly. That's a different
I guess a different conversation. But say, let's say that we were doing best practice
right.
and everything was going back and forth in
right.
writing.
Right.
You can't say, well, then we'll just accept the last, like your original
offer. Yeah. That's right.
Because it's dead. You've countered it effectively.
This is the new offer.
Yeah. Rejecting and ending that first offer.
Right.
So you can extend it. You could extend that offer time like 25 times.
Mm-hmm.
It could go on for weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But once you, and we get this call occasionally where it's like, we removing conditions and, you know, the other guys didn't send it back. We had to do an amendment
right.
to extend the condition. That's right. that's and
after the condition date expired.
Yeah. Can we revise it to extend that condition after the fact? Well, like not after the fact, because it was that was like a hard deadline.
Like you breached a term in the contract.
That's right. The only way you can extend it is if you extend it before that deadline passes.
Right.
But you can't, you know, if a deadline happens at 6 p.m., you can't at 7:30 say, we're going to extend that deadline till midnight.
Right.
And so that.
You can't revive a dead person is what I'm always making an analogy to.
Yeah, and it's different at the offer stage because it's just offers going back and forth.
Right.
So you right. don't have a person yet.
Yeah, not yet.
Yeah.
But once we've seen this also where we get an amendment or an addendum. Buyers and sellers agree, although that the waiver was sent after the expiry date, the buyer and seller agrees to continue. If the contract for that doesn't work. So
at that point, you have to rewrite.
You got to rewrite as soon as that expiry condition date comes. It's a new contract because it's a dead contract. Not the case with Section 17. So there's a very common misconception about the two, and I was also mind blown and floored when that discussion came up. When that comment came up from,
I think we were looking around for cameras. We thought we were getting punked.
Yeah, it was insane.
Yeah,
and you know what would be crazier is that if we actually said who this was, but we're not.
No,
but believe us.
Yeah,
that would
yeah, that made it that much crazier. I even tried to like end the argument because it was. This right. person wasn't having it. Like, no, like they were so sure they're right. And I'm like, okay, I guess we'll agree to disagree. That's saying.
Right.
And that kind of got thrown back at me. Like, no, we're still going to talk about this. I'm like, well, I don't know what there's to talk about because you're crazy.
Sometimes we just get that, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes we just get that. And it's frustrating sometimes. It's more disappointing than it is frustrating, actually. It's like you would hope that the commonality of the understanding, that's how things get resolved, is because there's both parties understanding.
Well, and governing 90 plus percent of the time, that's the case. Like if we attempt to resolve an issue of this nature
mm-hmm.
at the broker level, mm-hmm. it's usually one side or the other. Sometimes it's our agent was, you know, confused or got something wrong, and we'll be right. like, oh yeah, no, you're right. Let me talk to my agent. I'm sure they're just misinterpreted something, and then we resolve it. Like, but the brokers are generally on the same page with right. these types of things because right. they're pretty black and white, honestly. Yeah. And that was not the case. And that hasn't been the case on a couple different
things recently.
And it's like, what is going on?
Yeah.
Maybe we are getting punked. We still haven't found the cameras.
Possibly. Well, anyway, that's all the time we have for today. Hey, that's a good topic. Nice and quick.
I thought it was worthwhile sharing, and I guess don't be afraid to put counters in writing. That's actually the way you're supposed to do it.
Yeah, exactly. It's actually a very good tactic too.
I think so. I mean, I'm also not opposed to, because there's a convenience factor to, we all have busy lives. There's a convenience factor to negotiating verbally.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously it's common practice. I don't see anything wrong with that. But at some point in that negotiation, it's a strong move to do a final counter in writing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And to be the first one to do that.
Right.
And in writing, and all you gotta do is
just sign it. Sign it. It's done.
But like, hey, we've been going back and forth. When you didn't believe that I had a little more, you push a little more. But now I, you know,
this is it.
They've written it. Yeah. They're not gonna change now.
Yeah, exactly. So. All right. Well, guys, that's it for today and for this week. So have a good one. We'll talk to you next time.
Peace.
Bye.
We hope you enjoyed that episode of the Hennessy Box Podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss out on these great conversations.